It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take just it away,
like,
boys.
Just like that every morning.
Yep. That's us, John and Gordy.
We're going to get a
Tuesday.
Little bit of rain today.
Yeah, that's right. Looks like the clouds are getting a little darker downtown here on State Street, a block
right.
off the Capitol.
That's right.
Yeah, could get a little stormy, too. They're talking about that maybe this afternoon, another round of showers and storms. So just be aware. Keep your eyes to the skies and your feet on the ground.
Wow.
Keep reaching for the stars. I don't know. Go. Okay.
Wow.
It's cloudy right now and 59 degrees. Okay.
Let's talk Stephanie Miller.
Let's talk about Stephanie Miller. She's going to be Saturday night at the Barrymore Theater. Doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. She's bringing her whole crew and a couple of special guests.
Yes.
It's going to be a
Mark
great
O'Kan
time.
Mark O'Kan and John Nichols are going to be up on stage with them
and
at the end of the show.
I believe there's still just a few tickets left, so you can still get in on that show and check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday night.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we did a little interview with Stephanie yesterday. Because of her schedule, it was difficult to have her on the air in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're going to just play you a little segment of what we talked about her upcoming show. And we dug a little deeper to find out some of the background and what they're going to do here.
That's
in
right.
Madison. So why don't we just play that?
All right. Here we are with
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller is with us. How you doing, Stephanie?
I am ready to come to Madison, Wisconsin, which is where, as Bill O'Reilly told us long ago, where those people worship Satan. So they are my
That's
people.
Right. Well, we understand that the sexy liberal part of your stage show is kind of originated here in Madison. Is that right?
It was actually the whole idea, like the unions, was born in what Madison. We at the time, you guys, we were trying to recall Scott Walker and the Republican Eight, you know.
Exactly.
And we were so, like, all of us up in arms about what they were doing to workers' rights that
right.
It started as a joke. Like, I had Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang on the show, and we said we should go do a show and, you know, in Madison and raise money for the recall Scott Walker and the Republican Eight, and the Barrymore sold out in one day. Like,
wow.
We just thought, oh, maybe we'll just go try this. And so that's when it started, like literally 13 years ago. And obviously we've been back to the Barrymore many times. It feels like our home, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always just such a party in Madison. We love it so much. So we are, and this time it's kind of a big deal. We're sponsored by Live Nation. It's a big 15 city tour. We've already been to Minneapolis and Philadelphia, and Madison is up next, and then on to Albuquerque and on. So it's really been, you know, we called the last one the Save Democracy Tour, and now we're calling this one the Save the World Tour.
A little bit bigger.
You know, it's true.
Yeah.
Because,
more at stake.
You know, well, I mean, guys, I'm sure you hear this too, that people that travel anywhere in the world, people are more terrified than we are, almost, that Donald Trump could get back in.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's almost a bizarro world, really. I mean, you know, Trump going out there and saying that now there's a war on anti-white racism. You know?
Oh, my God.
That's a little bit too much.
Frangela had some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will on stage in Madison. I mean, he's running as a white supremacist, period. And, you know, I know that, you know, obviously University of Wisconsin is a big deal there. These campus protests, you know, I keep saying on the air, John and Gordy, no matter, you know, whatever your issue is, I promise you, Donald Trump and the Republican Party are anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim. So whoever you hate, there's a home for you in the Republican Party. If you believe love Trump's hate, then you're with us. You know, you're with the Democrats, you're with the sexy liberals. You know, sexy liberals started as a joke. Like, we didn't mean us. We meant that, you know, we meant the audience. We meant it's sexy to be liberal. It means you're open-minded. It means you're, you know, open-hearted. You believe in equal rights for everybody. We were saying today, what is all this crap about anti-woke? I can't figure out, like, woke to me means don't be a jerk to people that are different than you. Don't call black people the N-word. Don't call gay men the F-word. Don't be a jerk. Don't punch down. Isn't that what woke is?
Pretty much.
It's just that simple, yeah.
When you're woke, you kind of notice things around you. And when you're asleep, you don't.
Yeah, yeah. And so I mean, Stephanie, you know, you guys there, we have a great, we've had a great sponsor. Woke Coffee is a great company based there. You know, Minocqua Brewing. Brewing, you know, yes. There are companies that also share our values, that, you know, believe in the same things we do.
So, Stephanie, for people that are coming to the Barrymore Saturday night, what can they expect from your show? What's going to happen there?
Well, interesting you mention anti-woke, because the leader of the anti-woke party, Donald Trump, is falling asleep and farting in court. And so I can't really get enough of fart jokes and pecker jokes.
The pecker thing was very, very good. Enjoyed that.
For the eighth grade boy in all of us.
Yes, exactly.
Well, there you have it.
But, you know, I mean, these news cycles, as you guys know, are so insane that, I mean, literally, there are people that we just talked to one couple today on the air. They've been to they've bought tickets to 5 different sexy liberal shows this year. Mm-hmm. But because the news cycles are so insane, it's a different show, pretty much in every city. And also, we have different guests. We're so excited we have Representative Mark Pocan and John Nichols of The Nation as our celebrity guests in Madison. So there's
how does that
like
happen? What are they going to do during the show?
Well, it's primarily John and Gordy. It's a fantastic comedy show. I maintain John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Frangela are the smartest, funniest comedians in the country. And so it's a great comedy show. But then at the end of the show, we do, you know, about 20 minutes. It depends on how long, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depends. We do panel at the end of the show. And that's where our special guests join us. And there's always a local flavor. You know, Valerie Plame is going to join us next in Albuquerque. But in Madison, you know that nobody has written and talked about your issues better than John Nichols in The Nation. And I think Representative Mark Pocan is, you know, just one of the really strong progressive voices in Congress. So I know you guys love him, and we do too. He's been on the radio show. He's done Sexy Liberal before. So we're really thrilled he'll be back.
What about this Boberting thing that I think you, you're perfecting now? And, you know, I got to say this, you do it on stage, but I think it's getting into the audience. We know it's starting to happen in the audience, right?
Yeah, we do Hal Sparks and I do a Boberting demonstration many years ago. It used to be a teabagging demonstration, and now it has morphed because this is your family values party, as you know.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I don't mind if you objectifies men, basically. I think that's one of the nicest things you could do for all men. You know, we wouldn't mind being objectified.
Oh, I objectify Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang every single
I see
show.
That.
Oh, we know. We listen because you're right after our show. So
I saw some of that on your Instagram. We kind of cruised through that a little bit. Yeah, there's some of that there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of hilarious that Lauren Boebert did that in a theater full of children. This is your family values party.
Exactly.
Yes. God, one of the first times we were doing the demonstration, Hal Sparks just goes, "Hey, kids, look." Made me laugh.
Wow. Yes.
So how are you handling touring while you're doing the radio show? I know you've had a couple of guests fill in folks,
thank you for
asking. So how does that all work?
I'm not. That's how I'm handling it. I'm exhausted. I'm only 2 cities in. It is tough. The morning drive schedule, we get up at insane o'clock. And so that's really the main challenge is just my body clock. I'm just such an early person and I'm traveling different time zones, and you know the show starts several hours after grandma's bedtime, so that's hard.
Well, you say you're 11 billion, is that it? 11 billion.
I'm
11
billion
old.
We started this tour 13 years ago. You know what's great is that you know, you guys know this, you look at what you're doing, you're in a little room. You don't know if anybody's laughing, if anybody's, you know, getting what you're doing, if anybody, this, the nice thing is, I mean, it really is such a, you know, a loving, beautiful experience. We always joke that I swear, I think people come to be with each other more than they do to come to see us anymore. They come to be with like-minded people. So many people have made friends. They've actually gone alone and made friends at Sexy Liberal and have stayed friends for years, and they get together outside of the tour. And it, you know, the meet and greet is, you know, we were saying it's the opposite of a Seinfeld episode. There's laughing, there's learning, there's hugging, there's crying. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's such a beautiful sort of bonding, because I think we are all exhausted with the chaos of the Trump years. And we all have our own stuff. I have people that come up to me to talk about, you know, their parents' Alzheimer's and death, and, you know, that I just went through and talked about on the air about my mom, and people that have been through divorce and been through, you know, death of a spouse. And, you know, there's a lot of life stuff we're enduring at the same time we're enduring this horrible, scary political time.
I watched the videos of you and your mom. Very touching stuff. Yeah. Aww, love that.
Thank you.
So we just want to remind everybody, it's Saturday night, Madison, Wisconsin, Barrymore Theater. Doors open at 7 o'clock. And Stephanie Miller and the whole gang, 8 o'clock is showtime. Yep. And we look forward to seeing you then, Stephanie.
I might even sign some of those Bibles that Fugel Singh is selling out in front, you know?
Please. A lot of women want to see his staff and his rod, let me tell you.
There you go. Perfect. I don't know how you get away with it, but you do.
Yeah. Great stuff.
I'm pristine.
You are.
I can't wait to see you guys. I hope hopefully you'll be at the Fairmore with us. And
we will be there.
We'll be there.
Maybe even introduce you on stage.
Oh, that would be nice. I like the sound of men opening for me. It sounds dirty.
You just made it sound better.
Yes. Thank you, Stephanie. We'll see you Saturday night.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Gordy.
All right. Thank you.
That was a fun conversation.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Yeah. She was great. And she'll be there Saturday night.
Yep.
So will we. Good time.
Stop on by if you can. You would like to say hello and see the show as well and see what they can do up there on stage.
Absolutely. All right. It is 18 past the hour. Cloudy, 59 degrees. Excuse me. Rain on the way today. 68 for a high. We're coming back with more of John and Gordy.
And a little clip from The Daily Show.
Oh, it's coming up.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM in Madison.
Jimmy.
Broadcasting live from State Street, the John and Gordy
Experience.
Mad Pad. You know, did I ever tell you the story that my my sister lived with Hendrix just momentarily?
Wait a minute. Your sister lived with Jimmy Hendrix?
Actually, Hendrix stayed over at her place while he was getting a place in New York.
Where? In New York?
Yeah, Bleecker Street. She lived on Bleecker Street.
And he stayed at her place?
Yeah.
Just for...
Just a stopover, yeah.
Wow.
And then she wrote me...
What were her memories of this?
A letter. She said, you know, John, you really should listen to this guy, Jimi Hendrix. I think he's got some good songs.
Really?
I said, well, I have heard him. Because he was being played in England before he came here.
Right.
Before he was played on the radio in the U.S. And I had heard on the British billboards, which you could hear on, I think it was WLS at the time.
Okay.
And I was listening to that, and I heard his songs.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'm familiar with Hendrix. He's a big artist. He's staying with you? Really? You
know? Did your sister stay in touch with him? Get his phone number?
No.
Okay.
Which one of you was it that had a sister that went with Bob Dylan down to Chicago?
That would be John.
Was that your same sister?
My same sister.
His only sister, yeah.
That's crazy.
So she knew all these rock stars.
Yeah,
How was that?
She did. Yeah.
Follow them around?
And when she lived out in San Francisco, she stayed with the band that played with Van Morrison.
Oh, okay.
And my mom went out there and visited and hung out with the band, Van Morrison's band. Yeah.
Wow. Any other rock star encounters with your sister?
Heck if I know.
Oh, she won't talk about it?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any stories.
Well, let's call her up and see what she's got to say about it all these years later.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get to the Daily Show. They were dealing with something in regards to Trump. You know, Trump, he's been in real estate a heck of a long time. And he knows the ins and outs, legalese of real estate. Yes, he does, you know. And he has been participating in something very sophisticated in the real estate practice.
Really? What would that be?
Lying. Let's check this out from the Daily Show.
Okay.
If you knew anything about business, if you had an MBA, you'd know. You're an idiot.
We're talking about a victimless crime. They find an ordinance or a law that it's never been used ever before in anyone else.
He's committed bank fraud where there's no victim. It makes no sense.
No victims. There was no victim.
That's crazy.
The ruling is blatantly unfair.
That didn't go over very well with the investment community because we're all asking each other, who's next?
Who's next? The persecuted minority of the investment community. First,
I'm surprised to hear this from Kevin O'Leary, a guy who's such an asshole that even the other people on Shark Tank thinks he's an asshole. I'm surprised to hear that he's so chill about overvaluing something that he thinks is victimless, because when someone tries to do that to him...
Which one of you do I absolutely tear to pieces now on a $28 million valuation?
You think this is worth $10 million?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I'm going to rip your pieces. Are you out of your mind?
Your valuation's insane.
Your valuation's crazy. What's I think that's about? A crazy valuation.
I think your valuation is stinky poo-poo.
How is he not this mad about overvaluations in the real world? Because they are not victimless crimes. First, the banks got paid back at lower interest rates, although, to be honest, who gives a But second, money isn't infinite. A loan that goes to the liar doesn't go to someone who's giving a more honest evaluation. So the system becomes incentivized for corruption. And this is part of a different Trump fraud case, but avoiding taxes hurts all of us. Donald Trump shenanigans cost the city of New York. That is money that the city of New York could have used to build more Walgreens. Now, leave it to Kevin O'Leary to be unaware enough to say the quiet part out loud.
I hear about the so-called victimless crimes, but the laws on the books, falsification of business records in second degree, issuing false financial statements, insurance fraud, conspiracy, and all these different aspects of it, those are actual crimes. I take it your point is that these should not have been prosecuted?
Everything you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city.
Wow.
This has never, ever been prosecuted.
There is a theory in law that if enough people commit a crime, it automatically becomes legal. You're familiar with The Purge, are you not? F-ing entitled arrogance. I don't know if you know this, but most people just can't commit fraud and expect to face no repercussions, even if everyone's doing it. Try getting a car loan by saying you have 10 times as much money as you really do, or claim 20 dependents when you have no children, or say you make slightly less money to qualify for food assistance. I will guarantee you there are not just financial consequences for those lies, but criminal ones. But don't tell that to the investment community, because in their minds, in pursuit of profit, there is no rule that cannot be bent. There is no principle that cannot be undercut, as long as you and your f-ing friends are making money.
There you go.
That's it. Yeah. John Stewart.
That's it's an amazing thing.
Telling it like it is. You were in real estate for a while, a number of years.
Yep.
Did you ever witness any... out-and-out fraud, any lies,
No, it's pretty...
You were mainly residential stuff, right?
It was residential, yeah. But still, I mean, you really had to be above board, not just with your clients and with the buyers or sellers you were dealing with, but you also had to... you know, cross every T, dot every I, make sure the contracts were written properly. I mean, that could come back to haunt you later on if you did it incorrectly. Yeah. In fact, I think it was tighter back then when I was in real estate than it is now, because now a lot of properties are sold as is. But back then, you know, we insisted on inspections.
Sure.
You have to disclose all things that are problems with the home. You have to really do that, or else you're liable.
Yeah, and your reputation is at stake,
exactly,
and the company that you're working for, as well, the real estate company. So yeah,
but you know, a victimless crime.
Yeah,
you know, buying as is, I guess, but
as
yeah,
is.
It's just kind of ridiculous to think that yes, it's a victimless crime. No, it isn't. You're keeping yourself from paying the taxes that you owe the state and the government.
Yes,
should be paying that stuff, and if they aren't, then everybody else is picking up the slack, and that would be us.
Well, and also, there's a lot of checks and balances in real estate. I mean, you have to send it to the title. I mean, a lot of people have the hands on all the paper that goes.
And they
with
do look
buying.
Over it. Yeah, the title companies do check all that stuff.
They
got
to do everything.
Yeah, and they hold. And sometimes they hold the sale up.
Yeah,
because there's a problem, and they can't find a certain issue.
But apparently New York real estate is a whole other world.
There.
Yeah.
Well, we've known for decades that Trump has some connection to the Russian mob. I mean, you rent to these individuals. They launder money through their properties that they rent.
He rented a bunch of Trump Tower. A lot of Trump Tower.
Yes.
Rented to Russian
uninhabited apartments.
Oligarchs.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Business,
they found.
Businesses that are there where there's no staffing.
Well, it's all coming back to haunt him now.
Well, you'd think. Somewhere along the way, it was nice to see that happen eventually.
It is.
And no one's picking on him. This has been going on for years and years and years. He is well known for this.
29 past the hour, John and Gordy continuing. On and on we go. That you bought.
Civic Media now returns you to the John and Gordy Show, already in progress. If you call this progress, there are a lot worse things you could call it if you ask me, but nobody asked me. Never mind. Why do I have to read this?
You don't. don't. Don't read it. It's getting worse and worse. This is Mad Radio WMDX. 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. We're going to be live at the Minocqua Brewing Company at their tap room, and we'll be talking with Pete Schwabe at about 7:30.
Tonight.
We'll be there earlier, and we'll be, taking down a few beers.
We'll be working the crowd, saying hello.
Working the crowd, yes.
It's a small location, but a fun place.
It is.
Man.
And they're in the process of building a beer garden in the back. Had a little tour of that. It's beautiful. It's going to be really nice.
Yeah, we were there last Thursday or Tuesday? I can't remember.
Were there.
It's all blurry. Yeah, I was there, and a lot of the Civic Media folks were there. Was that Tuesday?
That was Tuesday, 1 week ago.
Man.
Time flies.
It's all blur. And then
after that awards show, we're exhausted.
It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
It really has.
Yeah, so we'll be there tonight, and we want everybody to show up and have some fun there with Pete Schwabe, the Schwabe Meister. He's going to interrogate us. He's going to grill us. He's going to ask us all kinds of weird questions we won't have answers to, because that's what he does.
Well, I hope he doesn't mind.
He's going to put us on the spot.
If I pass out, you know, fall asleep suddenly, it is my bedtime.
It's awfully late at night.
Can I have one too many, John?
Maybe that too.
Well, that should be a good time. And then, you know, Thursday night, you know, this is just a jam-packed week.
I know, it's a jam-packed week.
Thursday night is the Madison Night Market.
Wow.
And it's the first one of the season. And I think we're going to have our tent, our location, like right across the street from our studios here, right down the half a block away
or wherever.
That's what,
you said 5 to 9?
Something like that. Yeah, I think that's like it. That. I think so. Yeah, and so we'll be there, or at least I'll be there. I don't know, you'll be sleeping, I'm sure. It's past your bedtime again.
Doing a little show prep. Yeah, we got to talk about something, right?
But that's Thursday night, and then Saturday night we're with Stephanie Miller. It's just a jam-packed week.
I know.
Stephanie Miller at the Barrymore, man, that is going to be fun.
And we hope you can share in the fun and festivities.
It's all good.
Stop on by if you can.
Yeah. Look at the skies getting dark downtown.
I know, it's not good. It's not good.
It's just about to open up here. And it's good to, it's good that the rain is coming because the street sweeper just got done with all his work.
Just cleaned the streets.
So he got rid of all the dust that's out there. We wouldn't want, you know, wet dust on the floating down the sidewalk or anything. Yeah, here comes the rain. Okay. All right.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Supposed to get some storms maybe later today, too, that some of those could be strong.
So, just checking out another report in regards to the protests. There is a problem, of course. Now, the UW is investigating this now. Anonymous individuals drew anti-Semitic chalk messages endorsing Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas on the Capitol Square over the weekend. And according to the Daily Cardinal, the perpetrators were photographed in the act of doing that. I did not know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is from Madison Minutes, by the way. It's a great site.
Yeah.
They claim in the UW Madison issued a statement saying two registered student organizations are being investigated for the acts, but the anti-Semitic and Islamophobic graffiti was spotted near Langdon Street on Monday. The message had been reported to the Madison Police Department and the university. It says here that the students or the people who were doing this were not part of the two groups that the UW now is investigating, just to kind of clear their name. I hope that that's basically what they're trying to do. These instances of hate occurred as UW students entered their second week of protesting the Middle East conflict. The protests have been largely peaceful. They have been peaceful.
Yeah.
The only time they weren't was when the police moved in and took out the encampment.
Pushing people around.
Right.
Roughing them up.
Exactly. They raided their encampment.
Mm-hmm.
And that encampment grew pretty large now. It's out there, and everything is okay until they come to some kind of agreement. And I hope that the UW president, Jay Rothman, is not involved in the discussions because he is clueless. Let's let's call it like we see it.
Okay.
And then let's hope the UW administration does a better job of negotiating. And they can do it. This is happening in other campuses all across the country.
Do we have his comment? Can we play that again, Jay Rothman, and see if we can see the latest of what, or hear the latest of what he had to say?
I think the issues about the divestment issue generally is a red herring. I mean, the issues that are being protested are ones of foreign policy, not of university investment. So I just view that as a red herring.
How ridiculous.
Sam?
Just universities amazing. Can have foreign policy.
They
the
can.
UW is very much an international school.
Yeah.
There's plenty of international students, and the UW works with lots of universities across the world.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people come into the university, stay here for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And one of the deals, you know, we've been watching news overnight. Israel apparently has gone into Rafah. And
they're bombing.
You know, there was a ceasefire agreement.
They're talking about a ceasefire while they're attacking Rafah.
Yeah. And the ceasefire was apparently agreed to by everybody. But then at the last minute, there was some kind
of. Well, Hamas sent a couple of missiles over and killed some Israeli soldiers.
Was that yesterday?
And I think that kind of spurred on Israel to retaliate in some way, shape, or form while they're discussing a ceasefire.
Yeah.
It's crazy. This whole thing is nuts.
Let's go to the phones. Mark is on the line with a comment this morning. Good morning, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, you brought up Jay Rothman being completely clueless. I don't think he knows the definition of red herring in the first place.
Right.
For a guy that supposedly is you know, that experienced and worldly as Jay Rothman is supposed to be leading it, leading one of the top universities in the country is doing it. And as far as the violence goes, and, you know, when the police first get there and start, you know, going at, you know, that addressing the protesters. Remember what happened when Scott Walker's, you know, goon squad started arresting the singers in the Capitol? I mean, some of those people were roughed up. I think Will Williams was actually dropped on the stairs when they were taking him downstairs. They weren't exactly, you know, they were zip tying, you know, 70 and 80 year old women when they're, you know, taking him down to be processed in Scott Walker's crackdown on the people singing in the Capitol.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's just ridiculous that, I mean, that let these students, you know, get it out of the way. I think it might be in some ways a little bit counterproductive. They'd be better off just raising the issue of what the people in Gaza are actually suffering rather than.
You're right. It's a distraction. What they're doing right now is a distraction. These talks and then calling it red herring, it's a distraction from the actual message that these protesters are trying to send to the UW. And to the nation.
Yeah, it just, we need to, and perhaps the students, you know, a different tactic would be actually just to get out there and try to raise funds for the people in Gaza and actually, you know, get more of the message out that what they're suffering there rather than, you know, that.
I agree.
You know, be exploited like the way they, you know, that some of their stuff has been able to, you know, the right has been able to do with some of the message that they've been trying to deliver.
Yeah. All right, Mark, I appreciate the call this morning.
Thanks, brother.
Yep. Thank you.
Take care.
608-879-8255. If you want to chime in with a call or a text, you can also get the Civic Media app. Download it for free. You can text right from that app immediately.
Here's something that's just crazy, kind of tied in with this.
Okay.
Derek Van Orden does not know exactly what he's talking about. And that's not late-breaking news, obviously. He tweeted an unusual thing the other day. According to this tweet, Derek Van Orden accuses students of anti-Semitism by repeating an anti-Semitic slur against a Jewish man. Okay? Get this. This is crazy stuff.
All right.
Again, he is accuses students of anti-Semitism by repeating an anti-Semitic slur against a Jewish man. Okay. So this is what he wrote. This is all what right. Derek Van Orden tweeted. What do the anti-Semites protesting on college campuses have in common with the Dems running in the Wisconsin 3rd District? They are both backed by George Soros. And George Soros is Jewish, and the attack on George Soros is anti-Semitism.
Okay.
I mean, really? Soros represents everyone, all Jews, and, you know, Jews with money, and they attack George Soros constantly.
Yeah.
So this is anti-Semitism, as he criticizes anti-Semitism on college campuses. This is inside out stuff.
Yeah, it is.
The bizarro world.
Got to make a chart of just to figure that out.
I know. What is happening? I don't know.
It is bizarro world.
Oh, God.
Things are going off the rails. Yeah, here comes the rain, by the way, downtown. There's action weather here. if you're going down State Street or anywhere downtown, it's happening. Okay.
Yeah. Well, right, you know, I've got a question because I've got two Gen Zs at home.
Right.
And we signed up on the healthcare.gov website for healthcare, or family healthcare, and we thought we could keep our sons on our healthcare until they're 26 years old.
That's what
and
I
we were told that thought, we yeah. couldn't. And I am just at wits' end on this thing.
What was the reason?
I'm really familiar with healthcare and dealing with them. I always call healthcare.gov. I call them on the phone because I have more questions. always have more questions.
Well, did they give you an answer?
An answer saying, no, they can't be on your plan. And I thought, that doesn't sound correct. It doesn't sound right.
Right.
And they said, well, they have to be a student in school. And if they're not, okay. And they have to be dependents otherwise. And they're neither of those. And yet everybody that I know is on their family plan. I think Sam is still.
I still am.
And do you know if they're on the healthcare.gov website?
You thought
they were, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
And I have also talked to a few other students, yeah. Former students here at the UW. They have jobs, they're graduates, mm-hmm. and they're still on their family healthcare plan.
Hmm.
And it's blowing my mind. You know?
Well, maybe you should get a different opinion. I mean, is there anybody else you can talk to?
No, we're going to call back. We're going to call back and maybe get a different person and see if we're being misled.
Is there an insurance provider? I mean, you're whoever you're with?
Can they give you any answers? They always tell us to go to healthcare.gov and settle it with them. Because they just want to take our money. What a great healthcare system this is, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
My gosh.
What a mess. It really is.
It's crazy.
It's awful. And there are hospitals that are shutting down. There's a big hospital chain that just went bankrupt, I heard. They're keeping the hospitals open.
That's a big story.
It is a huge story.
They asked for money. They needed some money in the rural areas to keep these facilities open, and the Republicans went on vacation for the year, and they didn't give them any money.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of healthcare system we have in this country. And what they do is, you know, the price of healthcare is high because the doctors have these huge college bills that they have to pay, tuition mm-hmm. bills. And if we just gave them a free education, paid for it with tax dollars, they'd come into the system. They wouldn't have to charge these prices. Healthcare would become more affordable. Mm-hmm. We could have a universal healthcare plan, the insurance provided by the U.S. government. There would be no one would be turned down for care,
mm-hmm.
and there would be all pre-existing conditions covered. It would be, you know, every doctor would be your doctor. Every hospital would be your hospital. And that's my spiel on that.
Well, and the other part of the problem is a lot of healthcare workers left because of the pandemic. After the pandemic was over, they were burned out. They were like, oh, boy, hope this doesn't happen again. I'm going to get another job.
Exactly.
Because they're overworked, underpaid, and, you know, long hours and just time to find something else to do.
And a lot of that happened because of government, because the Republicans didn't want to do anything about the mm-hmm. pandemic. They thought it was a liberal-created plan.
Yep. Yep, they did.
For some reason, to be tyrannical. I have no idea the logic there.
Coming up, we've got tidbits, odds and ends, this, that, and the other. Oh, yeah, the leftovers are coming up on the John and Gordy Show. Want to die?
Radio WMDX 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. It's John and Gordy Show, broadcasting live from State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, a few feet from the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
and beautifully slick roads right now.
Showers.
Yeah, showers people, out there.
People running down the street.
And the rain
dodging the
come.
Raindrops.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about healthcare. You know, Tammy's running basically on that healthcare issue. She wrote that the amendment that allows young adults to stay on their parents' health insurance until 26, she added that. She helped pass that, and that's what got me on this tangent. I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute here. Mm-hmm. I've got two kids that can't be on until they're 26.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm a little confused. I wish I could talk to Tammy about this. What's the deal, Tammy?
I'm trying to give her a call after the show.
They did ask Eric Hubdy about all of this.
Well, what did he have to say?
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And this is what made me think my kids should be on there. Mm. They should be. It says here, a win for college students, this staying on until they're 26, a win for college students and kids entering the workforce right after high school given most entry-level jobs don't offer insurance. Okay?
Wait, what? Roll that through again. What do you mean?
Okay.
They can't?
It's a win for college students and kids entering the workforce yes. right after high school.
Right.
Because a lot of those jobs don't have insurance
exactly.
included
okay.
with
it. Yeah.
So right. now that made me think, well, my kids should be on my health care plan.
Exactly.
Because they're not 26 yet. Doesn't right. matter whether they're in school or not. Apparently, they don't have to be in school. They could be working.
Okay.
Why aren't they on the plan? I just want to pull my hair out. All right. Well, they did ask Eric Hovde.
Okay.
All right. Frederica Freiberg asked Eric Hovde when he ran last time about the healthcare system. And do you have this cut? No, he don't. You don't have it. You don't have the cut.
Was it cut 37? Or do you just not have a number, John?
I didn't put that number
in there. I
think
this is the right one.
Okay, play it.
Let's go for it.
Are there any prongs of the Affordable Care Act that you yep. support, specifically some of the ones that seem to be more popular, including the provision of covering young adults or coverage for pre-existing conditions?
No. I believe that the problem with our healthcare sector over the last 30 years has been ever increasing government involvement.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Okay.
See,
no.
That's holding everything up in this country.
Yeah.
Everything. They don't want it. They consider any time that we use our tax dollars, and that's why we're paying taxes in, for mm-hmm. them to use it,
yeah.
not give tax cuts, use the dollars. They act like it's a handout.
Mm-hmm.
It's our money.
It is. It's our money.
It's our federal dollars.
Yes.
They should come back to the state.
They should.
That's the argument. They're not doing it. Well, that's a handout. We're creating a dependent society here. They're depending on government. And you know, let's end this discussion. This is ridiculous. We send the money there. We're paying this money in. We need the services. In fact, we require the services. This is a growing country.
Well, not only that,
we have to spend money on it.
Yes. And not only are they going after that, but Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, it's all on the table now because the Republicans feel empowered that they overturned Roe versus Wade. And so here we go. You know, the 2025 plan that they put out there, it's all about cutting.
That's right.
You know, and giving tax cuts to the rich again. Just give it all to the rich folks because they, you know, they need more money.
Yeah.
They don't need to pay their fair share of taxes. Why would they want to do that?
That's right.
Just
that's
get
right.
their politicians in there, get them to pass these tax cuts for all the wealthy folks.
Well, they really have to start spending it on us. I mean, that's why we spend the money.
Mm.
That's why we take the money in.
Well.
And now they need to at least supply the programs for a growing country, and universal health care coverage is one of the most important issues that we have. They would lose dramatically, by the way, I think, election after election, if, in fact, we had universal health care. The public would be so happy, so relieved, and save so much money that any party that opposed it, and they would oppose it en masse, mm-hmm. and Republicans would, that they would never be elected again.
Well,
I mean, why would you elect somebody who has prevented society from moving ahead and saving so much money and taking all of the problems that people have paying their bills, medical bankruptcies, worrying about getting care because they can't afford to pay a doctor or go to the urgent center. They can't pay for that, so they withhold looking into a problem that they have medically.
Well, and back to Social Security. I mean, the Republicans have been against it ever since the beginning of, you know, like,
have,
you know,
yes.
80 years ago or whatever, you know, in the 20s.
FDR wanted to put a universal health care plan in place.
Yes, and so did Truman.
Yes.
Yeah, but of course they couldn't do that. No, it would have made too much sense.
And we somehow
covered everybody.
We somehow slipped Medicare in, thank goodness, with Johnson. But you know, at the same time, they want to repeal that. They want to break that down.
Of course.
They want to take that away or downsize it.
Well,
now, tomorrow we're going to talk about the Social Security plan.
Yeah. We're going to get into it.
Well, we have to because in the not-too-distant future, it's going to be cut by a third, I believe.
Yeah, about 10 years from now, yeah. It becomes insolvent, and they're going to have to start making some cuts
unless they
do something.
This comes up
like every 10, 20 years. You know? Yeah. We're running out of money. And then everybody runs around, and then eventually they refund it again. But if we would tax the rich, the wealth... The divide between the people that have money and don't have money is just getting wider and wider. And Social Security, again, it's on the chopping block.
The oddest thing is that Ronald Reagan actually supported.
Yeah, well.
Adding to, Social Security.
Supporting it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They grew it. Mm-hmm. But then they borrowed from it. that was sweet. That was another good deal.
Yeah.
But we need to at least expand the income that is taxed for Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like the easiest, quickest solution, at least, forestall cutting Social Security payments.
Right. We'll get into that tomorrow. Yes. Hey, tonight, join us with Pete Schwab at Minocqua Brewing. We'll be there a little after 7 o'clock.
Or maybe 6:30.
Something like that, yeah.
Take down a few brews.
All right. We hope you have a great day. John and Gordy will be back tomorrow,
yes,
bright
we
and early,
will.
6 a.m.
Yes. And that's a threat.
Have a great day.
As we were saying, let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.